Lindsay Penn.
Oh, Betty Towns.
Betty who?
Betty Towns. Oh, they're in mine. I haven't put mine on the wiki yet. I guess you want me to.
I put her in there.
People at World Savings advise her to refinance four times, once every year. And yeah, they advise her to refinance. And they qualified her for a loan that she didn't really qualify for.
It wasn't just one loan, it was a series of mortgages that she couldn't afford that she was sold.
Wait, so, oh no, that was for a different part. I thought you were talking about that. I couldn't see for your $100. You were talking about I couldn't see your
iPhone.
I thought that you would say I couldn't see you for $100, but you were talking about. You could sue me for me taking your iPod, but she said I could not sue you for $100.
Oh, okay.
Yes. They used her deceased husband's old income as a means of qualifying her for a loan, and also they tampered with, I forget the specifics, but they tampered with some of the her information and made it seemed like she would qualify by leaving some things out and adding some different stuff. They called it, gift wrapping the loan or something. I have to look back at my notes.
Yeah, packaging it. And I thought it was. I don't have it if it was illegal or not. I just have how she qualified for it.
Wasn't she about to lose her island?
I thought it was $1,800 a month.
Yeah, $1,800.
I remember it was somewhere in the south, but I forget what state.
I think it's noteworthy about how when Paul Bishop was going to warn Wachovia, everybody was like, oh, man, you're in trouble. And he was fired, and then his lawyer told him not to do it. He said, you might want to think twice about that. And then he ended up not doing it. It shows how much power they have. Like, in the that thing we were reading about the history of money, people were getting assassinated, and now people are getting fired and intimidated into not doing things that would more naturally be right. So they're getting away with something they couldn't show them that they have a huge amount of power.
Paul Bishop.
One thing that I thought was Herb Sandler's position throughout this whole situation. He was the founder of World Savings and of the Center for Responsible Lending. And as Paul Bishop kept kind of challenging World Savings with all these accusations and kind of telling them like what they're doing was wrong, Herb Sandler was the one who kept saying that, you know, the employees were not trained to scam people and it wasn't acceptable in their company, and Paul Bishop said that he was wondering if Herb Sandler either didn't know about what was going on or was trying to hide what was going on.
And what do you think? I think that he even invited him to come see what was going on, and he denied it to him.
I think I'm kind of half and half because what he's saying, usually when somebody knows about something, they say stuff that's kind of like calculated. And Sandler was just saying stuff that it sounded like he believed. And it sounded like he didn't want to find out what was going on. He was just saying what should be happening. I don't think he knew, but I don't think he wanted to know.
What?
Are we talking about the big... I don't know. I just came in the room, but I was
one of the things you don't
okay. That's what they did.
And if you even read the letter that he sent to the 60 Minutes, it didn't sound like it was even written by him. He probably had some like writer dude
his lawyers.
Oh, that sent Herb Sandler. Sold the company like a year before the economic meltdown actually kicked off. And my question was, then it seemed like that he knew that that was going to happen, so that's why he sold it.
I think that he sold the company to Wachovia in 2006. I think that he knew that it was coming because out of all that money that he was making, it had to be a strategy that he had it was like a flow that he had, and he knew what could get him money and what couldn't. So I feel that he knew that that crash was gonna happen. That's what he thought.
I say that they might have even known. Well, before they gave it to Wachovia, they were racking up a whole bunch of loans, and they were just kind of stocking up on money. And then they sold the bank to Wachovia, so it was kind of like it was a sinking ship, and they had gotten all they could out of it. So that's why they sold it.
I don't know if y'all went over this already, but how World Savings was going into the different records and files, and they were sending out ads to the people to get the loans. They were sending out ads to saying that they weren't checking their income, and they were going into it and modifying it because they knew that the customers weren't going to check, so they were making it so it can pass you. They were changing the income so it can pass to get a loan and then take the money and then take it to help the country. I was surprised. I mean, I knew that they were doing things kind of like that, but I didn't know exactly. I'm just really in shock, like, wow. Like, they're just going in, and it's not even, like, legal lying or nothing. It's like they just, like, full-face lying, just going in there and changing stuff.
Wasn't it Wells Fargo?
I wanted to make a comment because I was surprised at that too. And I'm not sure how the names and the ownership work, but Wells Fargo, how they changed all their names out to from Wachovia to Wells Fargo. I was told that they just changed their names out because my grandfather, he worked for them for a real long time. And he said that they owned them all along. They just ended up changing their names out after they decided because Thomas Jefferson was taking out the savings of Nicholas Biddle's depression and cause. Oh, because the second bank. They would have control over the income, and they understood how they could control them.
Okay, could you repeat the question just to be clear? I heard the part about Nicholas Biddle and taking out of the bank by Jefferson. Here, I was. I'm not understanding.
A similarity that they both caused the pressure. You said in this day? Yes, Nicholas Biddle and the second bank, they caused the pressure by calling in all their loans and refusing to issue new loans. And the banks here, the banks in 2007, they caused the pressure by mortgages, by repossessing houses, and lying on the forms about the client's income and basically taking the money. That means all the loans and like whatever else they loan, whatever money you still owe, you have to pay it all to them. I have a question. The schedules, like the loan schedules for your payments and things like that. How can you call in your loans before that's over? Because isn't that like an official agreement that you would have it paid out for this specific amount of years? But how can they call them in before like their time is over?
If you get behind in your payments.
Yes. Yes. Same for the definition. Okay, Right now, I'm not sure how to put it in.
No, I don't got it. I'm still trying to fix the thing. It was good, and now it's back. Could you repeat what you just said? I said I didn't understand, and then you were talking. That, what are you guys talking about? I'm fixing the thing, and it's popping in and out with the sound.
Okay, I got that. In New York during the 60s, a lot of black people started to burn down houses and stuff, houses and properties. They began to build their own wealth, and wealth was held in their family for a long time. And then the heads of the banks they caused a depression because the black people started to get more. They started to get wealthier, and they wanted to bring the wealth back into their community. So it caused a depression on things that we wouldn't give up on. And they basically like raised the prices and caused an overall depression on these items. And because, especially houses too. And so because more people weren't able to pay for it, we went into a depression. How do you mean?
I haven't. No. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, what I do remember is in that document, the SAT, him saying that if they cause depression, the person in charge of them get blamed for it, not them. But I don't remember anything on such it.
I did it.
I accidentally stumbled across it watching CNN.
There you go. That's it.
It was to show us what the meaning of revolution is.
Because when you have a revolution, there's a change of power. So there's a change of who's holding the money as the power.
Okay, was it the right in Watson, Los Angeles?
About how you thought that the CIA was behind
Yes, I follow. Okay, I thought you were directing the question at Kamata or Michael.